What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The IRS is coming for crypto investors who haven't paid their taxes. Plus, the search for the origin of the COVID-19 pandemic isn't over.
You know, the scientists who pursue this work say, yes, they're confident they will get to the bottom of it. It could take years.
And new frustrations for flyers. It's Friday, May 14th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The other headlines in a moment, but first we'll begin in Israel. The Israeli military said Friday that overnight it launched the most intense bombardment so far of its five-day-old military operation in the Gaza Strip. It added tank fire to its campaign of airstrikes. The military also said it moved up to 4,000 ground forces along the border with Gaza, but that those forces hadn't entered the Palestinian territory. Palestinian armed groups also fired 55 rockets towards Israel overnight, the military said. A total of 119 Palestinians have been killed since the operation began earlier this week, according to the health ministry in Gaza. 8 Israelis have died, according to the military. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. Schools in the U.S. should reopen 5 days a week this fall, according to the president of one of the nation's largest teachers' unions. Randy Weingarten pointed to improving conditions and cited the academic, emotional, and social effects of disrupted learning on students. She said schools should continue to follow guidance from the CDC to prevent or slow any spread of COVID-19. As of May 3rd, only about a half of the country's school districts offered in-person instruction 5 days a week. After months of growth, Disney's flagship streaming service announced its subscriber signups had slowed as the economy reopens. Disney Plus also added fewer users than Wall Street had expected. While the rollback of lockdowns and mask mandates was good for Disney's lucrative parks division and studio releases, it brings new challenges to its streaming platform, which had seen growth during the pandemic. And DoorDash has tripled its revenue in the first quarter, with demand for food delivery services staying strong despite moves toward the country reopening. The company beat Wall Street expectations by notching $1.08 billion in revenue. The company's chief financial officer said the drop-off in demand from consumers was smaller than they were anticipating. The cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase said its profits surged in the first quarter, driven by a rally in Bitcoin and other digital assets. This is its first earnings report as a public company. It earned $771 million in the quarter, up from $32 million a year earlier. And on the topic of crypto, the Internal Revenue Service is paying attention, pursuing Americans who haven't paid taxes on them. Let's discuss this with WSJ Markets columnist Rochelle Toplinski. Hi there.
Morning, Mark.
Rochelle, we've seen the IRS issue summonses. There are cases in Boston and San Francisco. Just how serious are they about this?
Well, they're the IRS. They're pretty serious, not really much of a sense of humor. And there is some history really behind it. You know, in 2014, they declared that cryptocurrencies were assets rather than currencies, which means they're kind of like stocks. And so buying, selling, and even some crypto payments are subject to income tax. So the story is that the IRS has asked Kraken and Circle to give it information on its customer accounts and the transactions there. Circle says they will work with the IRS, while Kraken hopes to do it in a way that protects their clients' interests. They seem to be concerned about government intrusion. But the IRS did something similar with Coinbase Global in 2016, and they ended up getting information on about 13,000 accounts that seems to have led it collecting about $13 million more in taxes.
And what about penalties, Rochelle? How does crypto fall into this?
Yeah, just like other forms of income tax, any failure to report transactions and income can lead to both back taxes payables, penalties, and even criminal prosecution. So the IRS is serious and people should take it seriously, but they can file amended tax returns or even apply for the IRS's voluntary disclosure program.
Rochelle Toplensky joining us from London. Thank you very much. Just ahead, the ongoing search for answers on the origin of the pandemic. More after the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
The origins of the coronavirus have been a contentious issue almost since the pandemic began. Efforts to look into it can quickly get caught up in international politics, and the scientific community hasn't reached a consensus on a few key points. Consider that in March, a World Health Organization report said the virus probably spread to humans from bats through another animal, and it said the idea that it escaped from a laboratory was, quote, extremely unlikely. But yesterday, a group of 18 prominent scientists from the U.S. and abroad called for deeper investigations into both of these hypotheses. Here to discuss is our senior writer, Betsy McKay. Betsy, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
So, Betsy, we know the WHO sent a team to China in February to look into the outbreak's origins. But that investigation was limited in its scope, and its findings have been met with some skepticism. Why is that?
So the idea with this first report was to outline a plan for more studies. I mean, they weren't going to wrap up the whole investigation with this first kind of effort. And it did show some promising signs. It did provide some leads. For example, you know, evidence of animals in a big market in Wuhan that come from places in southern China where viruses like the pandemic virus have been known to circulate. So there were leads to pursue, all of which is good. The real problem is that there isn't a clear plan for pursuing them, and there were some problems getting data. There are concerns from the WHO team and scientists outside it that China wasn't releasing all the data that allowed them to draw conclusions on their own. Sort of like being presented with the result of a math problem without giving the formula or how you sort of reached that conclusion. And so scientists are pressing for more on that.
Right. And then yesterday, a group of scientists wrote a letter in the journal Science. What exactly did they call for?
You know, the scientists who wrote the letter in Science basically advocate for two hypotheses to be pursued aggressively with full access to data. One is that the virus spilled over to humans from nature. You know, a bat infected another animal, you know, a raccoon dog, for example, which then infected a human, and somehow the virus started spreading in Wuhan. And just a study of that process and what happened. The other is that it also originated in nature, but was being studied in a laboratory and escaped from the laboratory. This is of concern because there are laboratories in Wuhan that actively study these types of coronaviruses. And so the whole question is, how did it get to Wuhan?
Let's focus now on the political undertones of all of this. What role is politics playing in these scientific investigations? And how does China respond to allegations they haven't been transparent?
So unfortunately, this search for the origins has become very political, and that's the whole problem here. I mean, scientists like to work in an apolitical environment, international collaboration, anybody asking any question, nothing is off the table, full access to data, and that's not happening here. You know, and the real challenge is to try to conduct this process without laying blame on anyone. I mean, there are several things that led to this. One, you know, China's own scientific ambitions and political ambitions. Two, you know, heightened tensions between the U.S. and China, which also got in the way of the WHO. So China, you know, is saying a couple of things. One, it's saying that it's being transparent, and they say that they have their scientists on the WHO-led team participating. They have done a lot of work. That's true. They have done sampling and testing of animals looking for the virus. But China's also pointing the fingers at other countries and promoting hypotheses such as that the virus originated on frozen food. Hypotheses, you know, basically asserting that the virus originated and started spreading in other countries and was brought to China.
And so looking at the big picture, this research into the start of the pandemic is important because it can help us prevent the next pandemic or limit its impact. You've covered this extensively. Do you get a sense if we'll ever get definitive answers?
You know, the scientists who pursue this work say yes. They're confident they will get to the bottom of it. It could take years. A thing that like scientists like to say is they never really find the true origin, meaning they never find the animal or the virus that spilled into humans. But they learn enough. And it is important, even though they say they know a lot already about the types of practices and the types of activities that can lead to these spillovers. Certainly, you know, and they believe one of those happened here, knowing exactly where, you know, a lab or a wildlife farm, you know, will help them zero in on trying to restrict or curtail practices or improve safety in ways that prevent more viruses like these from spilling over.
Betsy McKay, we always appreciate your reporting. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you again.
And finally, air travel is coming back, and so are things people hated about it. Long security lines, fuller planes, and higher ticket prices. Add to that a list of new annoyances. The WSJ's Allison Sider covers the airline industry.
There's some new hassles that are also now part of the travel process. A big one is disputes over masks. Masks are still required on planes and in airports under federal rule. And that sometimes has created some tension. And, you know, the FAA has been cracking down on some of the more extreme incidents that we've seen. Flight attendants say that they get sort of a barrage of abuse almost daily, you know, verbal abuse and in some cases even physical altercations over this mask issue. And, you know, another one that I talked to some passengers about is changing schedules. Airlines have been responding to big shifts in demand. And it slowed down a little bit, but they're still kind of tinkering with their schedules up until the last minute. And for some passengers, that has resulted in some relatively late changes in plans, which can be a source of frustration.
In addition, some airports are understaffed to handle demand. Many airport restaurants are still closed or at limited capacity, while some terminal seating remains blocked for social distancing. And that's what's news for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, check in with us on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. It is almost the weekend. Have a good one, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.